Chapter 38. D.I. Fintan O'Rourke walked down the driveway, gravel crunching beneath his feet. He nodded at the Garda protection detail sitting outside in their car, and then rang the doorbell. He had been summoned. In fact, summoned was putting it mildly. He had received a voicemail full of screamed invectives that added up to a very detailed description of the unusual and entirely unpleasant acts that Ireland's highest-ranking Garda officer was going to perform upon him, his ancestors, and at least one family pet. O'Rourke braced himself as the door opened. He was prepared for everything up to, and including, actual physical assault. What he was not prepared for was a petite blonde lady with a kindly smile and a glass of ice.
"Hello. You must be D.I. O'Rourke. Have I got that right?"
Hello. I take it you are Mrs. Ferguson?" She nodded.
"Well, somebody has to be. He's down at the end of the back garden. I sent him down there to that god-awful hot tub he insisted on putting in last year. I do it when the swearing and gesticulating get too much. I'm not having him breaking another vase."
"I see."
"This way he can smoke his awful cigars, and I can pretend not to know. I will warn you, Gubby is in quite the mood."
Gubby? The Commissioner was known by many names, none of them complimentary. But that was a new one to O'Rourke. Mrs. Ferguson pushed the glass of ice towards him.
"Here, take this. He'll need it for the bottle of whiskey I also don't know about. You can go around the side of the house. The gate is open."
"Right."
"Oh, and announce yourself as you do. He's been drinking, and he does have that frightful gun thing of his with him."
She smiled and closed the door. O'Rourke remained looking at it for a moment, then down at the glass of ice in his hand. It hadn't been a great day, and it seemed unlikely it would be getting better any time soon. He walked around the house, which was large and well-appointed, situated in Sea Point. With the security lights on, he could see that it had finely manicured lawns with several playful gnomes sprinkled around the place. He was guessing that was more Mrs. Ferguson's touch than the Commissioner's, although who knew what Gubby got up to at the weekend? O'Rourke walked down the side passage, which opened up onto a large rear lawn, surrounded by deciduous trees that sloped down to a gazebo, containing a hot tub.
"Ahem, hello, Commissioner. It's D.I. O'Rourke, sir."
"Who? I don't know O'Rourke, but I'm pretty sure I demoted him back to uniform about an hour ago."
"Yes, sir. May I come down?"
"Yes, yes. Get on with it."
As O'Rourke started to walk down, another security light flared into life above his head, illuminating the entirety of the back garden. More gnomes stood stock still, as if interrupted in the midst of nefarious doings. As he approached the hot tub, O'Rourke could confirm that in its bubbling waters sat the Garda Commissioner, a cigar in one hand, a glass of whiskey in the other, and a look on his face that wouldn't so much kill as wipe out an entire village. He also noted what appeared to be an air rifle leaning against the hot tub. He felt rather thankful that his boss was a keen drinker and smoker, who only had two hands.
"Ah, Fintan, how good of you to join me. Thank you oh so very much for taking time out of your busy schedule."
O'Rourke decided that saying nothing was the best course of action, to allow, as much as possible, Hurricane Ferguson to blow itself out.
"I'm sure you've been very busy," Ferguson continued. "I know I have. I've had the Minister for Justice on three times, the Taoiseach himself, not to mention every bloody journalist in Ireland. They've all somehow got hold of my private mobile number."
"Yes, sir."
"I'd probably still be getting calls, only
Ferguson transferred his glass of whiskey to the hand that already held his cigar, then reached into the water and pulled out a mobile phone.
Surprisingly robust, little blighter. Harder to drown than you'd think.
Ferguson threw the phone off into the darkness. The security light behind O'Rourke shut off, leaving the underwater lighting of the hot tub as the only illumination.
I see you've brought your own drink.
O'Rourke looked down at the forgotten glass of ice in his hand.
Sorry, sir, he said, holding it out. Your wife sent this ice down. For your whiskey?
Ferguson shook his head.
Bloody woman knows everything. It's not natural.
He leaned forward, grabbed two of the ice cubes, and dropped them into his glass. Then he picked up the bottle of Jameson from the edge of the hot tub and poured a large measure into both his glass and the one in Fintan's hand.
Cheers,
said O'Rourke, on instinct.
What the? Bloody cheek.
Ferguson snatched the glass out of his hands.
Christ, you misread that situation. No drinkies for you.
O'Rourke could feel himself blush as Ferguson downed the first of the whiskies. He drew a long puff on his cigar, and O'Rourke waited as he blew a smoke ring into the cold night sky.
So, Ferguson said eventually, how exactly does an individual under blanket surveillance, unprecedented surveillance, surveillance that in all probability breaches the Geneva Convention on Human Rights, how in the name of thundering Christ does that individual get shot dead?
Well,
and not by some eagle-eyed sniper, mind you. No, at close range by someone standing as near as I, the soon-to-be ex-commissioner of the Garda Síochána, am to you, the soon-to-be most overly qualified traffic warden in history. How on earth is that allowed to happen?
Obviously, there were serious errors on our side.
You think?
We have recovered his phone. It appears that the attackers had taken the woman hostage earlier in the day and then lured Moran there with a series of text messages from her phone that promised him intercourse in rather graphic terms.
Really? Was an orgy mentioned? Because that's what happened, isn't it? He got fucked. We got fucked. And I assure you, your beloved career is looking well and truly on the monumentally fucked side of life.
Ferguson took a sip of his second drink.
An hour ago, the Minister for Justice ordered me to pull you off the case. And then, once the headlines have moved on, accept your resignation.
Yes, sir.
I told the minister to shove it up his well-upholstered arse. It seems my career and yours are now inextricably linked.
Thank you, sir.
Don't. The wife wants me to take early retirement and go on a trip around the godforsaken Mediterranean on a bloody boat. This may be my masochistic way of giving her what she wants.
He stopped to take another sip.
I get seasick.
O'Rourke had no idea what to say to that.
Do we have any idea who did this?
Not as such, sir, no. But it is very early days. There was some chatter about Carter having fallen out with the IRA. Then there is his long-standing unpopularity with the drug-dealing gangs over his family's control of the Clannavale estate.
Do we think anyone knows the thing we haven't said? About Carter's imminent move from being gamekeeper to poacher in that regard?
If they do know, they're not saying much.
By the way, in order to save your sorry arse, I did have to promise the Taoiseach that we were weeks away from the biggest drugs bust in Irish history. not to mention making the bastard Yanks very happy. So that had better happen. That is the only thing we've got going for us. If your intel on Carter's next move is wrong...
It isn't, sir.
You'd better be right. The chance of having his belly tickled by the Yanks for striking a blow in their ludicrous drugs war is the only thing stopping the T from firing us both. Personally, I think kowtowing to the damn Yankees is degrading. But nobody wants my opinion. Only my job.
O'Rourke turned around as the security light behind him came on again.
Ferguson's voice dropped to a whisper.
Speak of the devil! Out of the way, Fintan!
O'Rourke sat down on a plastic lawn chair as Ferguson knocked back his whiskey and then reached for his air rifle.
He scanned the area and saw a grey squirrel looking around nervously as it haltingly scurried across the lawn.
Little grey Yankee bastards, coming over here, wiping out the ginger natives, then scoffing the nuts out of my bird feeder!
O'Rourke heard the soft slosh of water behind him as the commissioner drew himself carefully up onto his feet in the hot tub.
You know, there's a thing you can get.
O'Rourke had made the mistake of turning around, and he turned quickly back again. His boss was drawing a bead on the grey squirrel as it surreptitiously glanced around at the base of the bird-feeding table. However, that wasn't what had caused O'Rourke's consternation. It appeared his boss enjoyed hot-tubbing naked. He had just made unfortunate eye-to-eye contact with the most senior penis in Irish law enforcement. O'Rourke focused all of his attention on the bird table. The squirrel had made his way to the top of it.
"The trick is,"
said Ferguson in a whisper around his still clenched cigar,
"to get the little bastard when he least expects it."
On it, several things happened. Mrs. Ferguson opened the patio doors, which spooked the squirrel into running, which forced Commissioner Ferguson to hastily try to reacquire his target, which led to an overcompensation, and the commissioner, who in his defence was really very drunk by this point, shooting one of the columns of his own gazebo, resulting in a ricochet, a surprisingly girlish squeal, and a very undignified fall from the hot tub. There then followed a small amount of blood and a large amount of swearing.